have a suggestion to the picture. No, I don't like Scott either. Where's Scott? I don't like the picture, no.
We don't need it.
I prefer not, yes, sir. Do something while I'm thinking, that's all. What's that here, Scott? At 12, will they change it?
Right, there is a 10.
Oh, good.
Or 31.
Yeah, take pages to second here, sir. What a situation, they, on the top, sir, planned exactly like you expected.
Yes. They're planning it.
Well, that's great.
Right, they're planning it, that an agreement has been reached, there's a great deal of uncertainty about exactly where it stands. And, based upon that uncertainty, which is good, there's speculation all over the lot. The line that seems to be sitting in is that the hangup is, the fact that.
Sovereignty.
Over South Vietnam, yes, sir. And, you know, related to the ceasefire in place and sovereignty and so forth, but I understand it's not totally on the mark, but it's fine.
It is very close, very close.
The other point they're making. The other point in addition to sovereignty is that Q is hung up on having the third party set aside the account of the South Vietnamese because of his concern that that would become.
On the other hand, I think that the concern about it is that the Q probably doesn't fully count as
I tend to agree with you.
You know what I mean? It's a good assholes are talking.
I think.
War is way in the background.
I agree. I think people have a feeling that they would like to see this end. But they're not hung up on.
And they aren't going to take so much, and it does become a view of the others. What are they going to take if we have to keep it?
I think it's postured in the right way.
Like you, you know.
Well, I think it's postured from the standpoint that we made an effort, peace was at hand, the North Vietnamese reverted back to their intransigence. You said that we weren't going to sign until it was right, and therefore, we stand ready to talk. But in the meantime, the policy which you articulated before at the time of the mining of the harbors is in effect. And that policy will be followed. In the meantime, we stand ready to talk, to pursue every channel, to receive the release of our POWs, and to bring an end to this. But we, you know, we will not be, as we've said before, blackjacked into an agreement that's not right. To me, the American people would support that much more than they would support an impression that the United States, after 10 years being this close, is pushed into something that was not to the best advantage, or that the President felt was not to our best advantage. After all, peace is at hand. After 10 years of a war, and you know, there can be arguments on both sides of it. Peace at hand after 10 years could be 3 months, or 4 months.
Yeah.
That's at hand. If it comes in that. The other point I would make, Mr. President, is no question about the fact is if strong action was taken in terms of bonding and so forth, that there would be a lot of squeals from the
schools,
and there would be a lot of squeals from the Post and Cronkites, and they would focus on that and so forth. But I also feel that we've weathered that before, and I think certainly this could be weathered at this time. Because I think it's been proven that type of squealing does not impact substantially on the American people. What they're looking at is a good result. And I think we just ignore that type of carping if that decision is made.
She likes, you know, she's a nice person.
That's a good idea.
A nice think she just got, she's just a type, you know, she's not pretty, not okay. Thank you very much.
I talked to the other lawyers about,
Oh, yeah.
Last night about.
Very good.
Doing something on Christmas and they're,
They're not.
They, of course, don't address it, absolutely. What they did say, they're.
They're ready. They want me to come home.
No, no, I said, it was not the cars. They made the point, this is my experience, they filmed me, they had a toast.
No.
Fine, I'll eliminate that.
Not by the green on, I have something. Hello, Ken, how are you, President? Sorry to pull you up, I, not at all, I could not, you've been in all, up all night.
I don't know, good day back, always tough to get.
I thought I had that son of a bitch caught on this morning. But, I guess you're gonna need these, all the centers, sons of a bitch, I think most of them are.
It's true.
It's really incredible, but assholes they are. Just not to say, I should get a pretty cards, letting history here, it's just, I can't get.
Just talking from.
Sorry, yeah.
I'm sorry to get sending you these up and down reports, but for.
Why, well, they were, but you, they were true.
They had us on a roller coaster the first week in order to gain time.
Yeah, they, the first week, it appeared to be perfect results, and about the end of the week, we thought maybe it was picking up, so we sent out back, and the next week, we decided to screw us again.
But I.
Now we're at a point where,
I think they had.
Where I think that, yes, frankly, I just thought that you and I ought to come decide it. I know that you felt we could decide it on the basis of your last message.
No, 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 we should go.
And also, you thought that we were a little testy, I mean, you were, you thought we shouldn't have, I mean, that you thought that it was, showed it in the black comes, but.
No.
I think this is so important, we ought to sit and talk about it.
No, 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 no.
And we may talk all day today, by God, because we're gonna do the right thing.
Absolutely.
And it's gonna be at a high cost, one way or another, but the main thing is gonna come out, this thing's gonna end.
Right.
Or you don't agree.
Oh, it's gonna end. And I think, Mr. President.
And is that way, the press up and down is typical, I mean, Scotty Redstrom writes a piece yesterday, Rick Jones, that in the well, they're only one.
Today, I didn't talk to Redstrom, this didn't come from me.
The point is, he writes a piece which every, virtually everybody else uses, and today, and that word you're saying, well, it's much more pessimistic, I just talked to him through. This is the thing you better keep in mind. They want the country to think. Except for the POWs. The country thinks the war is being brought to an end, and they think it's very difficult. The communists are sons of bitches, and Jews difficult, and we're working like hell to bring it to an end. And they're not excited about it, because, you see, they're not seeing it on television every night. They're not seeing Americans being shot. They're not seeing American casualties being hauled out. They're reading that the casualties 1 week are zero, and the next week are one. And as far as the country is concerned, the war is out of their consciousness. And so there, we have a very different situation. As far as the POW-wives, so POWs, that will escalate as they do not come back, and will be a continuing nagging problem. What I'm getting at is that in term of time, that is not our problem. In term of time, what our problem is, and this is what those bastards know, what our problem is, and I, in order to try to get you more deliberately overstated in the duck, is the fact that they think that the Congress will say the hell with this war once we come back. Now, if we put it to the Congress straight out on the basis, and that's why I wanted to be sure that one phase of it, you had a specific case in there where it was POWs for withdrawal, which they would turn down. If we put it that way, we can bomb them for 10 years and have support from the Congress for Vietnam after the bombing. Provided it is not totally clear, I mean, that Chu is to blame. That is the thing. Now, on the Congress, in other words, we've got a lot more stroke with the Congress than I want Doug to know. As you know, we were fighting that. Now, of course, the problem is, you were very perceptive. my record. I thought I'm reading my own notes as I wrote it down the same way. My view is that the South Vietnamese are infiltrated. I think that what happened is that everything we told up got to the North. The other possibility is that whether they were infiltrated or not, the North are smart enough to know that the Congress will pull the string on us because Laird and others are putting it in their budget and talking about it.
I think that's infiltrated.
Yeah, infiltrated. And Henry, there's a third possibility.
And it's good.
The last way in this country is undoubtedly telling the North Vietnamese, hang tight, the Congress is going to screw these factors. Don't let them deceive them. The left wing, our friends and the press, can't bear the thought of our end in this war. You see what I mean? They can't bear it. And so they're playing. Well, whatever the reason, though, we've still got ships. Now, they aren't many, but they are there. And what we've got to decide is how to use those damn ships. And last night, after we got your message, not sure how you get it, the last one, but the one about 7 o'clock, where they got all those red ones. I talked to Al about it. And the two options were going to stop me. Let's sit and talk about it. But the main thing is that you've got to remember this, that above everything else, there's no goddamn reason for you to be discouraged about it. There's no reason for you to look back and say, well, if we'd have done something different, it might have come out different. It might not have. Who the hell knows? We are dealing here with maniacs on both sides, to use your term. And the point is, what we've got to realize, Henry, is that we have hung on to the skin of our teeth. I told some damn congressman or senator in here the other day, I said, look, I said, we're just one jump ahead of the sheriff on this for 4 years. And I said, it's a miracle that we're even in this worst place. And so here these people marching around the White House for years. We had Cambodia, we had Laos, we had Navy, we had May 1st, 1971. Remember the May Day riot at that time? We had the November 3rd period and all the rest. And here we are fighting, winning votes by one vote in the Senate. We've had the media against us. We've had the Congress, the Senate against us, not the Congress. We've had the country sticking with us. And here we are, still in. And how have we done it? Well, it's not been done with mirrors. I mean, what has been done by us is by a skillful managing of the goddamn war. Not to mention the bureaucracy, no damn help. But it's been also by the great initiatives. China, Russia, getting those people out playing in the game. And, frankly, by having negotiation. Now, we're coming right down to the water. And when we're down here at this point, it's going to be settled. And we are goddamn well not going to take any crap from people who say, well now, if we hadn't gone too fast before the election, then we wouldn't be in the trouble we're in now. And maybe so. I can second guess it all. You know what I mean? We can say, if we'd have gone just a little slower before the election, then we could have done something right after the election. That's true. We could have bombed the living with Jesus on it. But let's suppose we had. What would they have done then? I mean, would the Russians, could they stand still for it? I don't know. So you see, whatever the past is irrelevant anyway. The point is where we go from here. But the main thing we've got to go forward with is as we did at the time of Cambodia and the rest. I mean, you can't look back. It's hell, I know it's tough. Not particularly tough with the Christmas season coming, the inauguration coming, and they want some sort of a peace name for the inauguration and so forth, so we've had to strike it out. So what a crap. So what the hell? That doesn't bother me a bit. We're gonna state the things as they are. We're making a war theme. Right? We'll have a goddamn cannon run down there, and a few nuclear bombs and devices will scare the shit out of people, think I'm going crazy. And what I mean is this. I know what you've been through. You read those torturous
executive sessions drag on for 4 hours, there was never more than 45 minutes worth of business.
Is that right?
Oh, yes. After Saturday, we missed...
After Al came in?
After Al came in, we were through. In fact, we were through...
What made you feel that it was a little better looking when Al was on the way back?
Well,
you felt a little bit more up that day.
That is right. Mr. President, what happened all week long was, first of all, let me give you my assessment of how these negotiations went. They came back on November 20th. They came there on November 20th, determined to settle. When Lee Ducko arrived at the airport, he said it would not be understood if we had a second meeting, if a second meeting was requested. We gave them 69 changes, of which many of them were crafted just to go through the motions of supporting Saigon. Instead of blowing their top, they went through in a very businesslike fashion. They accepted 12 of them. We were down to 4.
Wait a minute. You're talking about what day?
The first session, November 20th.
Oh, that was the time after the election.
Between November 20th and November
21st. That's when we got the 12 concessions.
That's when we got the first concession, the 12 concessions. And literally, we were within one day of settlement. We said if we can get 2 out of 3 of the other 4 that were outstanding, we'll settle. We would have settled for 1 out of 3. It was easy to do.
Yeah.
At the end of the third day, we got a message. Vetted at the table, Blanche immediately asked for a recess. And it's never been the same since. Immediately then, the next day, he introduced new demands of his own that he had not done before. And from then on, he started dragging things.
Now, what was the message? What's your analysis?
My analysis of the message is that they probably got a readout of what you said to Duke and what I said to their local ambassadors, which
no,
was
I
to say...
Duke for that.
No, you... Oh, no.
That
was what we said about. Well, anyway, they...
Well, we said we played a hard time.
Then they got a readout of what I said to their ambassadors, which
that
was exactly
probably, that was it. I think they're probably infiltrated over there in Paris. That's what I think.
That's right. That's even more likely than
that.
That's what
it. No, not Duke. I don't think Duke would do it.
But Duke wouldn't do it himself. But
see, they got a readout. I think the Paris thing leaks like a sieve. Their rooms are... And those assholes don't know that their rooms are bugged by the communists. Communist passed the back. And so...
But whatever the reason is, they then decided...
That's when you showed them, that when you saw that turn of events.
Then there was a turn of events. Then he introduced two demands which he knew we couldn't meet. One, that the political prisoners ought to be released.
Mm-hmm.
And second, that we should pull out our civilian personnel serving in the technical branches there, which would have the practical consequence of grounding the Air Force.
And
grounding the radar and in effect destroying the army. That's when I asked for a recess. Because I
had
to come home. That was the first session. Still, we were quite optimistic. We thought that if we kept pushing, we could finish it that week, but we had no assurance that we could get you along, so we wanted you to talk to Duke.
That's when you have to.
Now, in addition to whatever they may have picked up of what we said to the South Vietnamese behavior was so incredible that gave them an incentive, because the longer these negotiations went on, the better off they were, the greater the tension between Saigon and us, the greater the possibility that we would flush you down the drain.
I see.
Without it, and the third factor was that every day that I was there on the first trip, Saigon Radio put out the content of the negotiations which we had given them and was keeping a scorecard on the concessions, so that Hanoi must have decided that any concession they made to us would be played in Saigon as a victory for them. So for all these three factors, they put a quietus on the negotiations. Now when we came back, it was a roller coaster, up and down the whole time. And since we thought it should be settled quickly, and since all the evidence up to then was still consistent with settling quickly, it was not easy to tell the truth. But they were up to, for example, Monday morning, Al and I saw him alone. He gave us...
This first day.
The first day.
But before we get that in, then we must also throw into the equation the fact that those two, or there were more than that, the two sessions I had 3 or 4 with Bill when he was here.
That's right.
Which obviously was reported back, because we put
the first session.
In the one, so.
In the first session, he always asked me what my schedule was for getting the thing done, when you would go on television, when I would come to Hanoi, when the farming of the North would start. But the farming of the North has dropped off so much now because of these idiots in the West that we practically admit to them for nothing. We had 28 tank air sources today yesterday. That's not the thing. They won't pay a price.
What were they saying? Apparently, it's weather.
So,
go ahead.
So that was the situation on. At the first
session,
at the beginning of the session, they wanted to know the schedule, when do we go to Hanoi, when is the siege, when is the ceasefire, and they wanted to know all of this because, of course, they're planning their military actions around. Last week, Monday morning, he gave us a very conciliatory talk. And frankly, to show you how naive or wrong we were, we thought the only question was, there were only four issues left at that point. Yeah, but we thought it would be done Monday afternoon. We get in there Monday afternoon, he withdraws every concession he'd made 2 weeks previously and says there are only two choices, to sign the October agreement or to...
why did he do that privately?
Well, incidentally...
He got instructions.
No. He did it privately to establish the fact that he wanted peace. Then he did it in the afternoon.
All right, now, why is he trying to establish the fact that he wants peace so that we don't go wild?
That's right. They had two problems. They are at their arguments themselves. They are obviously terrified of what we will do.
Yeah.
On the other hand, they also feel they can play us. And so, their problem was how to get through the week. Now, they start with this very soft approach. In the afternoon, he withdraws every concession. And says, if we want them, we have to give them counter concessions. So then I cancel the Tuesday meeting in order to be able to work on the Chinese and Russians. And because we cannot go back to the October draft, Mr. President, for a number of reasons. If we go back to the October draft, we'll be overthrowing you. We've got to get some changes. Secondly, it has now been, their bad faith has now become so evident that many things we could have accepted in October, we cannot now accept without their being written down. Thirdly, there are many things we could have accepted on a quick schedule for which there's no excuse whatever to accept on a slow schedule. Like putting international machinery in place. Now, then Wednesday we met, and he was conciliatory again, and he gave us back 5 of those 10 changes we made. Thursday was bad again. Friday, he gave us the one real concession he made. So when I talk like this, that's a 4-hour session every day. Friday, he gave us administrative structure. That was the one big concession he made. No, administrative structure is never withdrawn, but the civilian personnel found 2 things which he knew we couldn't take. One is the release of political detainees. The other is the withdrawal of civilian personnel. So every day, they came up in one form or another. And quite diabolically, one day he said, remember when Al left that Saturday, he said, all right, we take him out of the agreement. So Monday, he reintroduces them as an understanding, which doesn't do us any good. We still have to withdraw them. We don't give a damn whether they're in the agreement or not. We want them there. Now, they were never in the agreement. We had a full discussion on the subject. It was settled in October. That concession alone, if we pull out our civilian personnel, is bigger than all the concessions put together he's made to us. So, on Saturday, when Al left, we were down to one issue, the DMZ, or so it seemed. they wanted to settle, Mr. President, they would have settled Saturday night if it had taken till 4 in the morning.
That's why you kept that, what you were right to do. You see, you may wonder whether you shouldn't have broken off the first day, but I think, I don't know whether I'm agreeing or perhaps. But I think it was just well, just to continue to press. There's one thing for sure, that everybody here, they want the goddamn thing over for a variety of reasons, and many for the wrong reasons, and some for the right reasons. Many think it is over, but at least we've got to be, we got to play our string out so that we make the record. Right out. And that's what you did.
We couldn't break off the first.
You had, you stayed there 10 days.
We had approved what they were up to, Mr. President. We had to go the extra mile.
And to prove it also to your colleague, your loyalist like Mr. Sullivan, Mr. Horton. Well, they finally get.
Oh, Sullivan said he doesn't understand how I should have. But you have no idea when I.
That's never what they're going to say.
We'll have to work on the protocols. I'll get into that in a minute. So then, on Saturday, we headed down to one issue. All we wanted on that issue is that they give us back something they had already agreed to 3 weeks ago. We didn't introduce a new demand. The issue, Al had explained to you the DMC issue. The way they phrased it, we would not just leave their troops there. We would abolish the dividing line between North and South Vietnam, after which they would have an unlimited right of intervention. They would be the only legitimate government in Vietnam while there were severe restrictions on the South Vietnamese. That, then we might just as well overthrow Thieu. I mean, we've got to keep Thieu, not sovereignty, Reston has it completely wrong. Sovereignty is not the issue. Because he can't have sovereignty with a ceasefire.
He has it wrong. He has it wrong in one sense, right in another sense. It's really good. To Thieu, it is sovereignty. To us, it is, that is what we're insisting on at all. But go ahead.
To us, Mr. President, it seems to me to sign an agreement which leaves whatever number they've got there, let's say 150,000, which we think, plus the unlimited right of movement across the border. Indeed, not just the right of movement across the border, but abolishing the border. That, I think, is close to a sellout. It's a demand they never made of us. They had agreed to the other proposition 3 weeks ago, so it's not unthinkable to them. So what did they do? On Sunday, we had experts meetings to conform the text. It's a purely technical thing. Third-level people on my staff, third-level people on theirs. In the guise of language changes, they immediately introduced four substantive issues to make goddamn sure we couldn't settle. For example, all week long, we had fought on the issue. They had agreed that the DRG shouldn't be mentioned in the text. On Friday, we made the concession that it could be mentioned in the preamble. And we had then thought that that Saigon would pull off the preamble and sign a document without the preamble. And they agreed to that. So on Sunday at the language meeting, they put the DRG into three spaces in the text. I don't want to bore you with all these details.
Support, I get the feel.
It's just to give you the feel.
I got the feel, I just want to see what they're doing. That
they immediately introduced something which guaranteed that there could be no settlement on Monday. On Monday, they told me they had no instructions. But they.
May I ask one question that troubles me here? You know, Kennedy, at your instruction, may call a ring.
Yeah.
And, we got that was a good thing to do. Out there and read it, say, read the message. I got on the phone,
because Al gave me a report.
Al, you were there when I talked.
No, but Al gave me a report of something to Green and told him of where the negotiations stood, which they had been told by Hanoi, which is so, it's partly true and partly so distorted that Hanoi is lying to them the way Saigon is lying to us.
Do you think the Green is not the Green, the Soviet is crying?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you think so?
Because they know you, Brezhnev wants to come here. There's nothing in it for them. If they wanted to screw you, they do it in the Middle East. There's nothing in it
all
for
right,
the...
I was troubled by whether we had, you know, put a play there, made a play there, put a quicker, or we have a much bigger game. I see you wasted on these assholes.
No, but neither...
You saw the Chinese, too.
Yeah.
Is that worthwhile?
No. Well, I don't know. The Chinese never have a...
So Monday
they come in, just to make sure we don't settle, they come in with a signing, new signing proposal. So I figure out a way by which we can accept it. And tentatively accept it. The next day he comes in with a DMZ proposal, which is, however, exactly what they gave us the week before, just moving the sentence one place further. And withdraw the signing proposal they had made the day before and put it into a form that we can't accept, claiming that he had been overruled in Hanoi. In other words, his communication for that worked very fast. Then, again, in the form of going through the language of the document, they introduced four other issues. Then, now this is December 12th, 6 weeks after I told them we want to bring the protocols into being simultaneously with the agreement, 5 weeks after they say they want to sign the agreement, they for the first time produce their protocol for the International Commission and for the other commission, giving us just one night to study it. Now, when you see those protocols, that are an insult to our intelligence. They have 250 members in the International Commission. They have, each team has liaison officers assigned to it of the same number as the team from the party. All their communications, all their transportation comes from the parties. In other words, the communists supply all the communications and transportation in their area. They have no right to move out of their building unless the communists agree to it. We'll never get anyone to serve on it. And so the International Commission is a total joke. And everything is insulting. They had agreed all week long, they told us as a great concession, that there would be a team in the DMZ. So where do they put the DMZ team? On the Kwaviat River. Did you know that? They put the DNC team on the Kwaviat River, which is at Quang Tri. And then they have a proposal for a two-party commission, in which they give the communist member, the international members can't go to the bathroom without communist permission. Then there's a two-party commission in which the communist member can run freely around the country, make any investigation he wants, is established in every district capital. In other words, the two-party commission is a way for them to spread the VC all over the country. And then in the international commission, they introduced this Council of National Reconciliation as one of the parties, as if it were a government.
I wondered if you and Oi or Carlos or Bill Timmons could sit down with that asshole Scott and proper him down. So I just don't want to have to spend a lot of time with him today. I have a little friend. I mean, he wants to purpose of this is for his to come in like the others, so he picks himself out. The other thing is that Kevin's is apparently has put in all the talking papers and trying to discuss with them the timing, state of the union message, and so forth. I think you'd better let Kevin's in and without his telling them on the fact that there's going to be one, and just say that, I mean, don't get talked about. How can you do that? Just say we don't want to. And tell them, look, since there's going to be an inaugural, we may have a written message here and another approach to Congress, and that, don't raise it, because I don't want them to start steaming up about it. Okay, thank you, but get it buffered down. I've got about 10 minutes. I mean, 20 minutes. Okay.
Well, then, let's we settle a few things. So, then the only thing we come to was to go with the language of the agreement. We had it down to two. There were only two unresolved issues. One of them, a total, cheap, miserable trick on their part again. They had introduced the phrase that the National Council will direct the other party. We refuse to accept direct. So they said supervise. We refuse to accept supervise. And we finally bargained them down to the word promote, which they had accepted. They accepted the English word promote, but they kept the Vietnamese word supervise. So in the text, that's going to be circulating in Vietnam. All I'm trying to tell you, Mr. President, is here then I was
to see.
So then I would say on the last day, we had it down to two issues on the text and one issue of substance. I said, let the experts get together and just compare texts once more to make sure we got it right. So they introduced 17 changes in the form of linguistics by changing the obligations on Cambodia and Laos, by taking out a word on replacements, what weapons we can replace. We had said destroyed, worn out, damaged, or used up. They take out the word destroyed. I said, Mr. Leader, why do you take out destroyed? He said, because if a thing is damaged, you can't destroy it without damaging it, so it's an unnecessary word. So here we go into an hour's debate on the philosophical problem of whether you... But you know, goddamn, but now all of this we've already communicated to Saigon. If we take it out, if this were the Brennan, if this were Gromyko in the last hour of the SALT settlement, I'd run this through and wouldn't quibble. But you know what the strategy is. If we accept their DMZ language, which would be a disaster, they've got the signing. If we accept their signing language, they've got the 17 language changes. If we accept every one of these 17 language changes, which would destroy again what they granted us 3 weeks ago in Cambodia and Laos, they've got the protocols. And they're now saying all of these things, and if we accept the protocols, which we, I mean, if we did that, we might just as well overthrow you and leave. Then they've got the understandings. On the other hand, he played a very clever game. He's, first of all, their book must say that Kissinger's a man of great vanity, so keep buttering him up. So they kept saying to me, you and I are the only man who understand this war, so you go back to your president, and I'll go back to my Politburo. Here he was sitting with 10 little guys all the time. He kept saying, you know, I'm trying to settle. I make all these concessions to you, and they overrule me in Hanoi, he said. Now, when a Politburo member tells you he's being overruled in front of 10 clerks, you know it isn't true. So what they've done is quite diabolic. They've got the issue in a state where one phone call to us, they can settle it in an hour. But they're always going to keep it just out of reach. Now Laird thinks we can just yield. We can't yield. They won't let us yield.
Talk to you later this morning.
Well, Laird has sent you a memo.
Memorable.
then it's completely.
I know, I think he would if they were, if you had heard from Rogers, or you briefed him a couple of times, how's he sure? He said, I want him.
He's, he's kind of, we have a meeting. Been actively unquestioning him.
No. So, let me put Sullivan's view fair. In the text of the agreement, Sullivan would make concessions I would not make. But Sullivan has now accepted the fact that no matter what concessions we make in the text, they're not gonna settle. Now, there are a number of possibilities. It is, there's a 10% chance that Tho is selling the tools, that he's going back to Hanoi.
No.
I don't believe it. I just,
yeah, but that's then, like, there's a 10% chance.
It's then, as I have to say. There's a second possibility. They now want to see for a little longer how that Saigon Washington split works.
Right.
Third. There's the predominant possibility that there isn't enough pressure on them to make concessions. Now the reason I wanted to, I recommended and am responsible for the accelerated schedule before November 7th is that November 7th gave them a deadline from which they could not, that which they could not evade. And therefore they had to make rapid movement. What we are seeing now is their normal negotiating habit. They are shits, if I can use it. I mean, they are tawdry, miserable, filthy people. They make the Russians look good.
And the Russians make the Chinese look good.
And the Russians make the Chinese look good. I mean, it isn't just this crap I'm giving you. It is, they never, never do anything that isn't tawdry. Now, November 7th scared the pants at them. Now, I remember talking to Al about it, and I take full responsibility. He was in favor of a slower schedule. No, I get a lot of credit, exorbitant credit when things go well. I have to take the blame when things do not happen. Well, no, then I was right. India, Pakistan, I was right. This one, I wasn't necessarily right.
Who knows?
India, Pakistan didn't bother me. On that one, I was right. And that one paid off in China. India,
well,
Pakistan.
At the time, what I'm talking about, are we at the time? All these assholes in the press said we were wrong. Now, the present time, the press will say, for quite a while, we're very, very close to peace. They were wrong. And so when it turns the other way, they're going to say, peace has escaped, and they're going to be wrong again. And it isn't going to make a goddamn bit of difference. My point is, you've got to remember who the enemy are. The enemy has never changed. The election didn't change it. The only friends we've got, Henry, are a few people of rather moderate education out in this country. And thank God there are about 61% of the people who support us. The left wingers, most of your friends, and many of mine,
friends of
are against us.
I'm using the left wingers, Mr.
Yeah,
President.
They're all through with us, though. And we're through with them. They don't know what's on the table.
I have no illusions about the left wingers. Those kinds of bitches are.
Well, they're so talkers, right? Now, let's come down to
so
where we've got
the difference.
I understand, Henry. You know, I told him, like, an hour or 10 minutes, I guess I told you last night. I said, what difference does it make? It's done. You know, whether it was before we should have done the election and so forth and so on. Looking back, we probably should have let it wait until the election, the day after the election.
had a balance and was to weigh the advantage of an unchangeable deadline against the danger of an endlessly protracted negotiation while our assets were linked.
That's right.
And we lost the gamble. That's what it comes down to. We lost the gamble 80% because of Q.
Q, that's right.
No, but
if
all of you...
If Q had gone along in the first instance, we could have made the deal quickly if we could live. That was the real problem. That, you know,
because if that
about that we can't say. Okay. Due to the fact that we know that Q's survival is what we're fighting for, not his, but we know there ain't nobody else to keep the goddamn place together at the moment. We're in a real box on that, we all know that. But, you see, so therefore, that's what I mean, Henry. You were basing your whole assumption, we were basing our assumption on the fact that you, if you remember when you went to Saigon, you were made when you went in 60. But you was 50. There is no coalition coming. You have a veto power. And the son of a bitch says, no, I don't want anything. We got to have total victory.
Yeah.
That was the thing.
Even there, the bastard misled us. If on the first day he had told us he couldn't accept it, we could have still trimmed our relations with Hanoi and avoided some of the danger. But he let us off for 3 days that he might accept it, and only on the last afternoon of the last day. But that's water over the dam. I agree.
Well, we
are now in this position. As of today, we are caught between Hanoi and Saigon, both of them facing us down, in a position of total impotence, in which Hanoi is just stringing us along, and Saigon is just ignoring us. Hanoi, I do not see why Hanoi would want to settle 3 weeks from now when they didn't settle this week. I do not see what additional factors are going to operate. I'm making a cold-blooded analysis. I see no additional factor, if nothing changes, that will make Hanoi more receptive early in January. I see no additional factor that will make Saigon more conciliatory. On the contrary, Saigon, in the process of trying to sabotage the settlement, is going to float so many proposals of its own that it knocks out the few props we've got left. That Christmas truce proposal of Q is a disaster because it removes the few military pressures that we have got left. Therefore, I have come to the reluctant conclusion that we've got to put it to the Hanoi. Painful as it is, but we cannot do it anymore from the old platform. We have to do it now from the platform of what we have to do is this, Mr. President. I've thought about it very hard now. I think I ought to give a low-key briefing tomorrow of just where the negotiations stand.
You think you should?
Well, Al thinks Ziegler should, but I don't see how anyone else. I went out there and said they were going well. If I hide now, it is not going
to. Let's think about it. Somebody can give a low-key briefing. Let's start that.
I don't think anyone else can do it except I.
Let's talk about somebody should give a little debriefing. What should the briefing be?
The briefing should be is where were we at the end of October? And why did we think peace was imminent? What has happened in the interval? What is now in prospect? We can explain very convincingly that with goodwill, peace was easily achievable. But every time we turned over a rock, we found a worm underneath. That if they wanted a ceasefire, they should have had an international machinery in place. They didn't do it. That while they were talking ceasefire to us, we have reams of intelligence reports that ordered them to go into massive action on the very day of the ceasefire and to go on for 3 days after. They translated the document in a way that was totally misleading as to the nature of
whether it was a government or a coalition.
Or whether it had to direct, or whether it had to promote. That the simplest thing...
I mean, the way,